What's up, Bullenhawk Sports Show fans? This is going to be a bonus episode here on the podcast. Going to mainly focus primarily on soccer and hockey here for this week's bonus. Need to talk about Red Stars, Chicago Fire, and also the Blackhawks again. So very similar to the last bonus from over a week ago. Going to focus on these topics. First, let's break down the game that the Red Stars played against the Houston Dash on the road in Houston PNC Park Stadium. This was a good one, and the Red Stars had come in with a 9-game unbeaten run, had lost or had a defeat since then with wins and draws. And Houston's been a good team. They were a little down in standings, but they have talent. They're missing some key players due to their national break, like Rachel Daly is gone, Jason Campbell is gone. But the Red Stars are missing those players as well. Missing Osinair, Morgan Brian, Mallory Pugh. Some of those players also unavailable. So both teams missing players. Both teams with their backup goalies in net. Emily Boyd for the Red Stars and Lindsay Harris for the Dash. Lindsay Harris is totally fine, just like Emily Boyd. They're both fine. Fine backup goaltenders who can have good performances. And this one, the Dash finally ended the Red Stars' unbeaten run. The Dash came to play. They came to eliminate the Red Stars' good fortunes as of late, beating them in a blowout. And first, let's do the lineups. Then I'll talk a little bit about some of the most important action and then discuss the upcoming match after this one for the Red Stars. So first, let's do the visiting Red Stars lineup. Their starting 11 was in goal, Emily Boyd, defense, Tatum Milazzo, Zoe Morris, Amina Kowalski, midfield, Aaron Wright, Danko Prico, Yuki Nagasato, Rachel Hill, Sarah Griffith, and Vanessa DiBrano, Al Stevens, in the striker positions, forwards. Then for the Dash, in goal, Lindsay Harris, defense, Natalie Jacobs, Katie Nodden, Ally Prishik, Hunt Eddy, Emily Ogle, Shea Groom, and Marissa Viginato in midfield. And then forwards, Ebony Salmon, Maria Sanchez, and Rachel Garris. That's a starting 11 for that side. And this was Ebony Salmon's big coming out party. She recently had been traded to the Dash from Racing Louisville not long ago. This was her first big opportunity to start as a member of the Dash. And boy, did they choose someone who blew up in this one. Ebony Salmon, unbelievable. Greatest performance she's ever had in the NWSL. She had a hat trick in this one. Ebony Salmon scored in the 11th minute, 45th, 55th. Hat trick for Emily Salmon. Fantastic performance by the Dash player. And the goals, how they went down. First for the Dash. There were some misses on both sides, corners, botched shots, but finally in 11th minute, Emily Salmon had a right footed shot. Got to the left corner, assisted by Shea Groom on a silver platter. Passed Emily Boyd, 1-0. Dash. Then there's some saves by Emily Boyd. Saves by Lindsay Harris. Offsides. Free kicks. And by halftime, it was only 1-0. So this game was more than up for the taking. But then devastation. In the 45th minute plus one, so in the extra time and at halftime, Emily Salmon had a second goal past Emily Boyd, Nally Jacobs, founder, money shot Emmy's having past Boyd, 2-0 dash. It would have been a lot better if it was 1-0 at half than 2. That's far worse. Just like ending the half on that low moment. 2-0 at half. Both teams had attempts that were blocked, missed, defensive prowess on display. But in the 55th, Emmy Savin, another goal past Emily Boyd, founder on the fast break, Ryan Greece, and Emily Boyd could do nothing. 3-0 dash. Emily Savin with the hat trick. Some substitutions on both sides, especially the Red Stars, with Sam Fisher coming in, Sarah Lubert coming in, Ava Cook all replacing some of the foreign players. Block shots on both sides. Defensive powers, subs, free kicks. Late in the 88th minute, Sam Fisher scored past Lindsey Harris to make it 3-1, but it was over by this point. Just avoid the shutout. Get on there. Sam Fisher's first ever goal in the NWSL to make it 3-1. And then 2 minutes later, to make it even worse, Jolie Anderson scored. High center shot, assisted by Callie Farkinson to make it 4-1, and it was over. 4-1 defeat for the Red Stars on the road against the Dash. And the Dash now are in fourth in the standings. Great, because Dash are my second favorite team. So now they're in fourth, 18 points, 2 behind the Red Stars, 3 behind the Forens, and 4 behind San Diego Wave FC points. So very close. Both teams close to first. Especially the Red Stars, with just one win, they can get into first. But both close. Good job by the Dash. Coming off 2 losses to get a win, that was important. For upcoming schedules for the Red Stars, their next match is going to be at home, but it's somewhere different than normal, not a SeatGeek Stadium. This one is going to be July 30th at Soldier Field. This one's going to be an interesting one. It's a doubleheader match. So the first game of the night at Soldier Field is going to be the Chicago Fire versus Atlanta United. And then after that match ends, immediately San Diego Wave versus Chicago Red Stars starts with a doubleheader at Soldier Field. I'm trying to go to that one, but I don't think I can go due to work. But I'd like to go. That'd be pretty cool to see both teams doubleheader in action. That'd be fun. One thing to be different is that it's probably less likely that you'll be able to get autographs from the Red Stars players at Soldier Field than at SeatGeek, based on how it's set up. So I guess that's the one downside if you're trying to get autographs from the Red Stars players, or because the Fire players never do autographs. So you're probably unlikely to get them from Red Stars. But it's going to be a good game. Wave or first place. Red Stars third, close first. So it's going to be a tight one with some stars both sides. Maybe not as many as usual due to the international break, but still there'll be stars there. And the next thing I want to talk about is the Fire. I did a little video on YouTube that went over the Fire's performances versus Toronto and Seattle. They beat them. There's the next match of the season is soon. That one is going to be against Vancouver on the road. Hopefully you can beat Vancouver on the road. They're just whatever, middle of the road. Hopefully can beat them and then come home and beat Atlanta, who aren't that good, on this special doubleheader night. But the Fire need to continue to get good results, either wins or draws, especially wins. But one of those results. But we're only 4 points, like I said, off the playoff spot, which is nothing. There's still a good chance we could sneak in, maybe. It's not like 100% chance, or not that high, but there's possibility, whereas a couple weeks ago, a couple games ago, it was like 0. So there's a chance the Fire could go. Hopefully they just continue to play well and stay healthy too. Next, I want to discuss the Blackhawks. So we transitioned from soccer to hockey. And the Blackhawks, as you know, I've talked about here, so made some big moves, trading multiple players. I already talked about Alex DeBrincat and Kirby Dach going. But there's another one that's big that needs to be discussed. They did lose Dominik Kubalík. He's gone, and Dylan Strome is gone as well. Both of them have left. Blackhawks losing a lot of players who have played a high role in the team as of late. Gone, traded, or signing elsewhere. And as a fan, that's depressing because the only players of note who are fantastic on the team left, in my opinion, are Patrick Kane, of course, and Jonathan Toews, of course, but Seth Jones, I guess. But those are really only the three who are big-time players left. Because we've traded some young guys who are big, like Kirby Dach. He's gone, and DeBrincat's gone. So we'll see how the team goes. And even as this article says, the last stars in the Blackhawks, and even they mentioned Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, Seth Jones. So I was right. And it's just disappointing. Team going. I know the team wants to blow up and become the young, new, sexy. That's the goal of the team, to tear it down to the studs. But that's not fun as a fan to watch. Maybe as like some financial guru or somebody who like in management, oh, I love to see a rebuild. Well, no, I don't have that same opinion. And the team, to be honest, has been feeling like they've been rebuilding since 2016. They haven't been good since then. And that's been like 6 years. So it's kind of disappointing. They're still not good. But hopefully the team can continue to at least develop. And some of these young guys we've drafted lately, hopefully they can come up soon and play a big role. I thought it was going to be Kirby Dach, but he's gone. So some of these guys better make a name for themselves, either defensively, offensively. In goaltending, we did make some moves. I didn't mention that yet, but we did make some moves. We lost. Kevin Lankinen is gone. And Colin Dealey is gone as well. And now Corey Crawford is, of course, gone. The guys we have left now are the ones we just got in trades or free agency. We got Pilar Mazurek from the Toronto Maple Leafs. And we got some other guy who I never heard of as well in free agency. So those are our no goalies. Nothing big, no sexy big name, but they can just placeholder there and veterans in their 30s who can at least be a goaltender. Hopefully they're not very good because of the team's plan is to tank. Then having good goaltenders is not what they're looking for. They want ones who are going to be average to below average with a poor defense and an offense that struggles to score, which will lead to high draft pick, is the thinking. And that's pretty much all the moves the team has made that I need to mention. But there's one last move that this is more depressing than all of them. This is the most devastating move. I just found out about it maybe 20 minutes ago, and I am still very disappointed in this move. The Blackhawks legendary TV color commentator Eddie Olczyk, who's one of my favorite sports color commentators in all of sports, not just hockey, and of all, he's one of the best ever, is leaving the Blackhawks. That is horrible news. We already lost Pat Foley, the legendary play-by-play man. He retired at the end of this season, so he's gone, and now his partner for 16 years, Eddie Olczyk, who's legendary and well-beloved here in the city of Chicago, is leaving as well. He's not retiring, but according to this article from the Chicago Sun-Times, Eddie Olczyk couldn't reach an agreement with management on a new contract. His deal expired after the season. According to a source, the Hawks would not give him the same contract life. Instead, he's going to a new team. A new team gave him a bigger deal. He's instead joining the Seattle Kraken broadcast team. Oh my goodness. He's going to the new expansion side, Kraken instead. That's probably going to be more fun, because the Kraken want to be good. So that's probably going to be better than Blackhawks, who want to be bad. And so he's gone. He's still going to do TNT broadcasts, it says, but he's now going to be the Kraken's color commentator, not Blackhawks' color commentator. Devastating. Goodbye, Eddie Olczyk. You're well-beloved. Never forget you. I'm going to start paying more attention to the Kraken because I want to hear your voice and insight on the team. And a player I liked from the Chicago Wolves, who I met at the Chicago Wolves celebration, Calder Cup trophy ceremony, he also signed an NHL deal with the Seattle Kraken. So some other people I know are going there. So that's positive. And Eddie Olczyk, good luck in Seattle. I remember the color commentator for the Seattle Kraken broadcast booth. I don't know who the play-by-play man is there, but good luck. So now that means the Blackhawks need to fill the Cal commentator spot. They already have a play-by-play man that they chose at the end of last season, which is Chris Volstead. And he's fine. He didn't have, like, I listened to his games he called because Eddie Olczyk missed some, and Pat Foley missed some games as well due to getting ready to retire. So this Chris Costers did some, but he's fine, but he's new, so hopefully it can improve. But he's gone. So now there's rumors about who the Blackhawks are going to choose to fill Eddie Olczyk's spot. Some say Patrick Sharp. Some say players who have been retired for a couple decades. Some say up-and-coming commentators. I would totally be fine with Patrick Sharp. If they wanted to choose Patrick Sharp as a co-commentator, I'd be down. Sounds good. He's called games before, and he's been a TV analyst as well, and he's done a good job with that. I like Patrick Sharp, and he's not one of these nasally voiced ones that there's fear they could choose, because some of the people they had who are subs had nasally voices or annoying voices I didn't like, and their comments I didn't like. So hopefully it's someone like Patrick Sharp, who I do like, or someone else who could be a good commentator to take over. And this says as well, Nick Olczyk, Eddie's son, who made some TV radio appearances, will not return either. So both Olczyk's father and son, gone. But this is one thing I need to mention, it's so stupid. I don't know the contract length or deal that the Kraken offered Eddie Olczyk, but why did the Blackhawks not offer it? Eddie Olczyk's legendary, one of the greatest broadcasters ever. And he's not 80 years old. They should have signed him. Big mistake. They're going to regret that one. But thanks for listening to this kind of rant about the Blackhawks and more positive about soccer. That was positive. The hockey part was less positive. But thanks for listening to this. Stay tuned for more content on the Bulldog Sports Show in the future.